Well, good morning. So this morning, I've chosen attack with love. And it was mentioned to me the other day that they asked me, did you misspell that word? Did you mean attract or attach or detach, which are all wonderful? And I heard they're all wonderful in their own right. But no, attack with love. And this begins with this very first and important awareness that I try to practice on a regular basis, and that begins with cleaning my house here with God's grace. In other words, to do good unto myself is to do good unto others. There's a saying I've heard, and it says, respect yourself, respect others, respect the earth. And it's hard to do the other, to respect others and respect the earth if I'm not respecting myself. I can only give what is already coming through me. It becomes very difficult to try and give when something's really not there. I think often of the St. Francis prayer, and just to paraphrase a small portion of it, it's better to love than be loved. It's better to understand than be understood. It's better to give than to receive. And long time ago, I used to think, well, that's like being a nice person. I like that. I want to be a nice person. But it's so much deeper than that. It's really saying that this is what's already coming through me. That's already there. So I'm experiencing it before I go forth and practice it. So if I can realize that it's better to love than be loved, then I'm experiencing the ability to truly love, to understand, to be understood. It means I have a greater insight than the limitations that create so much chaos and dissension. To give than to receive. Well, the giving is the receiving. It's already come back. In the words from Jesus Christ, one of his great teachings was of a great authority. And all of it is a great authority. When I think of the one part where he's on the boat and everyone's in a panic about the waves and he says, peace, be still. It's done with great authority. That is to attack with love. To resist not evil is to attack with love. For I'm not fighting with evil. I'm now not on the good guy versus the bad guy thing. Because if I'm doing that, then I'm of it, I'm in it. Whatever role I'm playing, I'm being a part of it. But when I walk in the light and live in the truth, then I attack with love. It doesn't mean that I ignore these things. It doesn't mean that I forget about them or blow them off. Not at all. I'm just taking a whole nother way of this great goodness of a divine infinite mind that I'm one with. Even Jesus would say, why are you saying I'm good? It's not me. You know, why are you thanking me? Thank the heavenly parent. So Christ's mind is to go within and not search in the without. That is the greatest teaching that Jesus brought to us. He said, look, it's all happening in here. The kingdom's within. The Christ is within. You can do these things I'm doing. It's within. Stop looking out there for the solutions. I've been running a men's group for quite some time on Wednesdays and going through a series of books that help to look deeper into the Bible. And recently we've gone to a rather popular book, and we have invited women on this one. And that's Emmett Fox's Sermon on the Mount. And the chapter, Resist Not Evil, comes up, which is taken from Scripture. And basically, again, we're talking about a greater way of living, about walking in the light, about putting God first in all these things I do. You know, what I've been told is the greatest prayer we could ever have is the awareness that to put God first in all these things we do. When I do that, I'm walking in the light. And I'm attacking with love. To freely give away what is not mine is to realize God consciousness. Is to be of Christ mind, or if you wish, super consciousness. But at this point, I cannot, in a sense, give what all belongs to God in the first place. Yes, I make the choice, but I'm making a choice of, in Christ's mind, to be a part of how God works and what God does. When you think about how giving and free this whole creation and how it all works, is that of a very giving mind. I've come across some science t-shirts, which I've been getting into. And as I've been told, it's like real nerd stuff. And yes, I confess, nerd. But one of them says that science doesn't care about anybody's opinion. And in a sense, I think some thought to that. And it's, I look at God science. It's not that it doesn't care. It says this is how it works. So have your opinions, but that's not going to change. I can camouflage it and put on a show, you know, a song and dance thing and everything else, and twist it around and fool myself, and unfortunately maybe fool some other people. But it still does not change. It's incapable. These are principles. It is something that absolutely works. They are the laws, God's laws. It is a science, God's science. We've tapped into a little bit of it. And a certain amount of it's still in theory, because we don't really know. Recently, a while back, watching this show on about how the planets and everything work in our galaxy, and talking about gravity, and how they all play an important part onto each other. And at one point, they realize, well, up there there's these planets, but we need another one in order for this law of gravity to work. So it kind of stayed in theory. And the mathematician said, well, you know, perhaps that planet is on the other side. But we can't see it. And then it would be in proportion to where the law of gravity would work. Well, it took about 70 years, and we did get a lens that we could now look in a telescope. And sure enough, what did they find right where these mathematicians said there would be a planet? We found a planet. There it was. So the law of gravity continued to be one of God's principles. Everyone was pretty much satisfied at that point. So, but there is the faith, isn't it? I mean, that's where I see something working. I may not understand it, but I see it working in how I live. I see it working in how other people are applying it in their lives. It works. I may not quite understand the whole makings of it. But do I read to? I really don't. I'd be spending a lot of time trying to figure it all out, and not too much time on what God just loves us to do, and that's practice it, live it. See this. See yourself evolve in Christ's mind. See yourself become more of in the image and likeness of that wonderful parent, and little less of mankind. You know? Often there are things going on today that you know, I don't quite understand. I'm not really big on car engines. I know a little bit, less than I used to know, because they're more complicated. That doesn't stop me from getting in there with the keys and turning over the engine and driving all over the place in my car. I don't get quite how it works, but I know how to drive it. I walk into the house, I flip the switch on, there's the light. I have some ideas how that all works, but I don't quite know how it works. So I don't come home and go, well, I'll just light a candle instead. You know? It's like I turn on the light switch. I don't have to get all caught up. And if I really wanted to study it all, I could probably learn a great deal about it. But it's not quite on that big to-do list. You know? There's other things, like learning more about this, what we all come together, what we're practicing here. That's the stuff I want first. So that other stuff's interesting, but not enough so, you know. A very big part of the Christ mind is to stop believing in the lies, the limitations, the opinions, even the facts. Facts can be very, what's a fact? But it's not necessarily a principle, you know? And to allow that stuff to just stop filtering through. You know, we go out there in the world and it's all over the place. It doesn't mean I have to just digest it. It comes in, no thank you, and off it goes. The idea I've been learning a lot more about in regards to the Alpha and the Omega, which they call the beginning and the end, but yet we also see this infinite source which is omnipresent and timeless. So the Alpha and the Omega, though it talks about a beginning and the end, is also of the absolute infinite moment. So therefore, there's not really a point that says this is the beginning and that's the end. They are one. It just is. And it's hard to comprehend living in this earth plane where I see a beginning and end to all things. But yet at the same time, I've come to learn that there is timelessness. There is that which is absolute, that has always been, that will always be. And so when we talk of the Alpha Omega, we're also talking about timelessness. And again, this is a little bit what I said before. How can one mess with that? We can't. I can mess with myself, but I cannot tamper with that. Impossible. I wouldn't even know where to start. If the fact that, again, there is no starting point, since it's timelessness. So when I look at the problems and the troubles in the world and that I experience and begin to ingest, I stop and I begin to realize that which looks like trouble around me is where I also find within my patience and my humility, my generosity and my usefulness, my kindness and my courteousness. So why grudge? What plays a part in helping me to grow in the beauty of Christ consciousness? That is to attack with love. I don't, again, ignore it. I don't do nothing about it. But I've taken a whole new way about how I have my being and how I choose to respond to it. There's a beautiful saying about attitude, and it's simply, attitude's 10% of what happens, 90% of how I respond to it. Now, I like the 90% to be the fact that I'm practicing walking in this light and understanding what that means and how it all works, rather than just to thrust myself out there and get tossed around and dragged around with whatever's going on and combat it and making that my 90%. Not interested in that. Really don't want to go there. You know. So I can't deny that the troubles I see also help me to grow. I have choices. You know. I try to be conscious of the choices that I'm going to make today. And I believe as each person does that, each person makes a difference. And it goes out to the universe. It may be hard to see that at times, but just because it's hard for me to see it at times doesn't mean it's not working. It just means I can't see it at times. And I leave it at that. And I keep doing what I'm doing because I really believe in this. Here I see this working. And I'm very attracted to it. So I want to keep my focus on this. Which is not easy. If I said I get up 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and that's what I do, well, I'd be lying to you. That's not what I do. I return to it. Sometimes I get caught up in it. And sometimes I get caught up a little bit more than I wish I had, but that's okay because I return to this and I learn from it. You know, and I like to think that I'm continuing and growing on a path that means everything to me. You know, the truth is, today, we take a look at man's knowledge, and today, the average schoolboy and schoolgirl knows more about science than Sir Isaac Newton did back in the day. The 21st century child knows more than he did, and yet we still appreciate what he did, and he's up there as one of our leading scientists. You know, so man's stuff comes and goes. You know, today would you go out and buy an old edition of great encyclopedias? Or would you buy a current? You know? Unless you're a collector, that's a whole other story. But, you know, it came and it went. The horse-drawn coaches, which can still be a very wonderful thing to enjoy, however, have been replaced by engines. And again, as I said before, the candle's been replaced by electricity. Man's knowledge comes and then fades. But what of divine truth? It remains infinite and eternal. And in fact, new revelations, I find, often come from the same words. They just have suddenly become deeper. Enlightenment opens up to every new aha moment. And this is to attack with love. I'm going forward. I'm moving ahead. We live and experience what we vibrate out into the world. There's no way around that. What's going on in me will come out into this world no matter how much I try to hide it or camouflage it. It's going to come out anyway. Our energy and the mood we produce flow simultaneously regardless of how we look or what we wear or what we even say. So today, myself, I'm going to try to do my best to go deep within and smile. Because that's what's coming up from something deep within me. And to love vibrantly. And that is to attack with love. In Psalm 17, something I've always loved, it says, Whoever loves a quarrel loves sin. Whoever builds a high gate invites destruction. And what a paradox. Because, well, don't I have a right to defend my ideas, and don't I have a right to protect myself? Well, yes, absolutely. But I can go and walk in the light. And I love it, and this is from thousands of years ago, and it doesn't say that you build high gates to that may cause destruction. It says I actually invite destruction. I invite it. So I want to be careful of who I am, because who I am and how I'm going forth is what I'm going to put out there and help make manifest. You see, because that's what's going on when we go within, and what Jesus was teaching, we go within. Because out here is really just the sum of our thoughts, our imagination, and our creativity, and our intelligence. It begins with that thought. We make manifest from the invisible to the visible. So I should, ideally, going within to the infinite source. Or I can be out here just trying to pick away at the sum, you know, like what's almost like the scraps. Not that they're really scraps, and not that one can't do great doing that, but the infinite source of idea is here. It's here within each and every one of us. And that's how God is as we understand God. I was told a long time ago, you know, in the 7 days of creation, it said, God said there was light, and there was light. I was like, whoa, back up. God thought, and then said, and then there was. And that's who we are. That's what we do. We have a thought, we speak, we create, we make manifest. Yes, we're in the image and likeness, but not in the sense that God's just some human being somewhere. Inasmuch as God is a human being, God is also a tree. And God is also that little seed in the ground somewhere. And he's that drop of rain that's now part of the ocean and that star out there in the sky. Just as much. But within. Now there's something that being in the image and likeness is very much that infinite connection. So we take that time in meditation and in prayer to know this, to feel that, to realize that, yes, I'm in this body, but there's something incredibly infinite about the I am-ness that dwells in this body. Kind of goes against our math, right? It's like, well, how do you put infinity into a container? You know? Well, there it is. That's how it actually works. So, today I welcome God's wisdom, love, knowledge, understanding, power, and life. And that means life on life's terms. You know? Makes everything move a lot easier as I attack with love. So, in closing, let's just have a prayer and just take a moment to just be conscious of this, to know that we are in the image and likeness. We're intelligent. We're creative. We have imagination. We do make manifest. We're of Christ's mind, in oneship with the infinite mind. That divine, beautiful, eternal source that freely gives the kingdom to us right here on earth as it is in heaven. Let us know this truth. Because this truth is the absolute freedom. And may we know it with the authority that we say, and so it is. Amen. Okay. Okay, thank you.